Blog Talk Radio.
Never in the field of human conflict was so much owed by so many to so few. I hope, indeed I pray, that we shall not be found unworthy of our victory if after toil and tribulation it is granted to us. For the rest, we have to gain the victory. That is our task.
Let us therefore brace ourselves to our duty, and so bear ourselves that if the British Empire and its commonwealths last for 1,000 years, men will still say, this was their finest hour.
We shall not fail or falter, we shall not weaken or tire. Neither the sudden shock of battle nor the long-drawn trials of vigilance and exertion will wear us down. Give us the tools, and we will finish the job.
We shall go on to the end. We shall fight with growing confidence and growing strength. We shall defend our island, whatever the cost may be. We shall fight in the fields and in the streets. We shall fight in the hills. We shall never surrender.
You have tried to change my country. You've tried to change my life. No one ever asked me if I thought that this was right. It's time for us to tell you that we will go through hell to defend our country and to help BDL. I'm proud to be an Englishman and I'm going to be free. I won't forget the men who died to get that right to me. And we will stand up against you and defend England every day. There's no doubt we love this land. We'll save England and the UK. Lied to all the people and tried to take away their rights. But we won't let you sell this land, not without a fight. It's time for us to tell you that you can go to hell. It's time for us to stand and fight and join the EDL. I'm proud to be an Englishman and I'm going to be free. I won't forget the men who died to give that right to me. And we will stand up against you and defend England every day. There's no doubt we love this land. We'll save England and the UK. Forget the men who died to give that right to me. And we will stand up against you and defend England every day. There's no doubt we love this land. So save England and the UK.
We most certainly do love this land. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is the English Defence League radio show broadcasting live on blogtalkradio.com. English Defence League radio station, the voice of the EDL. And tonight, the producer and the co-host at this moment in time is our very own Kel, a.k.a. Red Fox Blogger. And I think she's had a few problems, and she's got a new nickname tonight, BTR Enemy 1. So with that, good evening, Kel.
Hi, Jeff. And
what's up?
I've been having BTR nightmares all week again, but these are huge ones, like huge nightmares.
Okay.
For example, I was taping my Friday show. I lost my chat room and my studio. And the only thing that had me going was my landline. And so here I am chatting with people, and I had to go right out of my account, log back in, reestablish my studio, reestablish my chat room. And then I was taping Liberty GB, and we were getting feedback for some reason. My internal speakers were picking up.
I don't understand
what was going on. So I finally had to turn off my internal speakers because we were getting the echo and the feedback. And then I called into here, and within 2 minutes, my call dropped, and I had to dial back in. So I'm not having a very good time, Jeff. I'm very, very cranky.
The same thing, believe it or not, ladies and gentlemen, what Kel said, I experienced the same thing. I went to call into the show as I normally do, and I got through, but then when it went to giving you the pin for the show, it cut me off. Then it was just giving a discontinued as though the number didn't exist, and that was three times I had to call back in, ladies and gentlemen. So we are experiencing that, and of course Friday we had an issue Friday on the show, didn't we? Three quarters of the way through, we had we just lost everything. I lost my studio, but I'd say we got it back. The professionalism there, we don't let it vex us too much. We just carry on, don't we?
That we do. But I listened to the rest of the show in archive on Friday, and everything went through fine for you, Jeff, which was a relief I ended the show by accident or something. But ladies and gentlemen, Jeff and myself were rather cranky. So can you open up the bar early for us, please? Thank you very much. Agador is pouring us a large Scotch whiskey.
Mine's a very large
Scotch
rum
whiskey.
And coke, guys. If you with a few bits of ice in there, please. But also, my goodness me, I've just seen this gentleman sleek through that. He goes through that like a Neil now. He comes through there. And I can't, you know what, Kel, before I know it, he's sitting in the studio quietly because, guess what, that bloody bell, he's removed that bell that used to let us know when he was on his way. So that's it, he's doing a stealth. We've got a stealth cat coming through the cat flat now. And of course, ladies and gentlemen, I'm only pulling his leg. It's our very own Cat Strangler 101, Mr. Tim Burton. Welcome to the show, brother.
Meow.
Hello, Jeff.
Who let the cat out? Meow, meow.
Thank you for the introduction. Yes, good evening. Good evening, Kel. How are you both this evening? I've been listening to Kel on Liberty GB now, doing a sterling job with with Paul and Jack Buckby. So that was a very very educational show. That was. What did you think of it, Kel?
Ladies and gentlemen, I implore you, please don't listen to the archive until I've taken it to Audacity to edit it.
You was great, Kel. Ladies and gentlemen, I was listening to the show. And don't take notice what Kel said. It was a good show. And very good job. Well done. Big salute to you, Kel. It was great to hear Paul and, of course, Jack. You've done a great show. It was a great little... it's a roundup, really, of the week, wasn't it, sort of thing. And it was very interesting. So, well done, Kel. Don't worry about Audacity. You don't need to. It's good.
Oh, thank you, Jeff. Thank you, Tim.
It
was a lot of fun. You guys, you'll love Paul Weston on the weekly roundup. You also get the lighter side of Paul Weston. I think that Paul Weston should be part of the panelist on Comedy Central Friday nights, Jeff.
He certainly should. And ladies and gentlemen, Paul, and I was very surprised because I didn't hear Kelsa. She's known for dropping the occasional F-bomb now and again. And this evening, I mean, it was our very own Paul. But it was done in the best of possible taste. No, it was funny. It was funny. It was it's what live radio is all about now and again. It was just so funny. I just rolled up laughing, and I was thinking, when's Kel going to drop one in? Is she going to drop one? No. But you didn't. So
oh, you see, I try to be such a lady when I'm at Liberty GB Radio. I really do. I'm all serious.
She's
and I
a lady,
try to
isn't
be...
she, Tim?
Oh,
yeah.
You are a lady,
yeah.
Kel. You are, I've got to say it as it is, and I think Tim would agree, and anybody who has the pleasure with Kel, with what she does with her producing, the great works that this lady does. She's a powerhouse, a dynamo, a women amongst women. That's the word, isn't it? So, you know, we say men against men. Men amongst men. Well, Kel is one of those very good top ladies, and she works tirelessly with the works that she does. She never, I don't think she does sleep, guys. She says she does. I don't believe her. Jeez, Tim, do you believe that this lady
sleeps? You know what's really terrible is that I set my alarm on the weekends now. But I also have to because I'm up at, like, I tape the Rooster Crows at night on Outcry Radio on Saturday nights, and that's 11 p.m. Eastern Daylight
Time.
There
we go. We're plugging again, Ledger, and we don't mind doing this because it's
really
great
shows. I just
shows.
Have to because it kind of rolls into what I'm saying is that, and so that show tapes until 1 a.m. in the morning. But I'm also on dog duty, in which I have to get up about 4 o'clock in the morning to let Brandy out, and then when you're up, and stuff like that. And so when Brandy's doing her thing, I have to kind of keep an eye on her, and then I'm kind of, well, you know, what am I going to do now? And I wait for Mr. Kel to wake up, because I like for him to sleep in on the weekends. It's, you know, I mean, he gets up so early during the week, so on the weekends I like for him to sleep in. So then I'll get up again around 4:30 and take care of Brandy, and then Mike will get up, and then I'll go back to bed, but I'm setting my alarm because it's kind of like, okay, you know, because if I don't, I am going to be sleeping like forever. So, but on Saturdays, I go to bed on Friday night, and Saturdays is my big day to sleep in because Mike is usually, for some reason, Mike likes to get up early on Saturday mornings, but Sundays he doesn't. It's really weird. So on Saturday mornings, I get to sleep in a little bit.
Yeah. But what can we say? As you say, we know you're always a busy lady. But as I say, we've got a very busy chat room this evening, Kel. I just flipped in there quickly and giving everybody a wave. Good to see you all this evening, guys. But, yeah, it was interesting, and some of the topics that you yourself, Paul, and Jack was speaking about tonight. And as I say, it was... But then again, when I had to leave just before because, as you say, the show went over a little bit, didn't it? So I thought, well, I had to come to studio and move some of these. Well, I had to move some of the cat tins, you know, them cat food tins out of the way, Kel. You know what Tim's like. We used dead blackbirds and that.
Oh,
I know. Clean the bloody place up.
I hear you. Here, Timmy.
Oh, don't. Knock that milk over again, Kel. Don't.
Well, I thought
time tonight, but we like to have our little bit of fun. Tim, we're only joking.
Oh,
mate.
Yeah. But we're going to buy you a new
cat collar soon.
I must say, it is an absolute pleasure to do Liberty GB Radio with Paul Weston. He is a lot of fun. My goodness, is he? This man sure knows his stuff, absolutely. But he also is very relaxing. He's a very warm personality.
He has. He's got a very laid-back way, but at the same time, very positive. With the way that he conducts himself and speaks. And that's what I really like about Paul, and I also have done. I do like people who tell it the way it is and doesn't hold back, and occasionally might drop an F word in now and again. That's all right. It's what we're about. It's people's people. You know, people's people. But, Kel, guess what? We've got our very own Sonny. He's sitting here quietly. I was wondering if we should bring this young man in. Yeah, so Sonny, I hope for yes, are you there, Sonny? We got you okay?
We've got Sonny.
Yeah. Hello, guys. Hello.
Hi, Sonny.
UK calling, Sonny. UK. Hi, buddy.
Hello.
Did you manage to get a bit of sleep? Now, I know you had a very, very busy day last Friday, wasn't it? You were very tired when you got back.
All I can say about that is I didn't see most of the next day, just put it that way.
Oh, really? But
it's good to
have you back tonight. And ladies and gentlemen, Sonny, he's got a court date this week. And isn't there another 10 lads or so, did you say, Sonny, that was at the police station with you?
In court it's going to be me and 10 other lads in the same room for the same sort of thing, so yeah.
And it's been, and you've been charged with violent, is it violent disorder, Sonny?
Also known self-defence in my words, but in their words, violent disorder.
Yeah, that's the way that the police like to round things up and, you know, to make it look like he was there's violence and he was a big part of it. That's the way that it's produced, that they try to use words. They like to play on words, don't they, Tim? I think you'd agree with what the police tried to do.
Well,
it
certainly sounds like a bit of a stitch-up.
Yeah, it certainly is, mate. I mean, when the police officer said to you that there was no UAF in Birmingham that day, I mean, how can you lie so blatantly? Was you being recorded at the same time? Did he actually say this on tape?
Oh, no, what he said there were UAF that were 600 metres away from where we were, but there were no UAF within the vicinity at any time during the march or the speech anywhere near the English Defence League. They didn't come anywhere near us. So I said to the guys, just like, oh, yeah, that it must have been those things that were going on. I mean, that's been on several occasions, but we've got ghosties that are throwing bricks and stuff now. So, guys, if you're listening, watch out, because there's some ghosties out there that are becoming very violent and active towards Patriots, so watch yourself.
Where you got to be then on Friday, Sonny? Whereabouts is it you've got to be?
Birmingham Magistrates.
Oh, really? Well, okay, that's interesting, only because if I get the opportunity, I might well pop down there myself. I can't guarantee it at the moment, because I might have to schedule a couple of things, but if you're down there, keep an eye open, and I'm going to see if I can support you.
In case you can, we'll give you, just so you know, and let me just get me details out, it will be at Station Street in Birmingham at 9:30.
Yep, okay, cool.
So there you go, Tim. As I say, I don't know if it's very far from your vicinity, sort of. Where
No. It's. I know it well.
I was
there myself.
Not frequent, is it, Tim? It's just you know because you're
past. That's it. I mean, I was there myself on December the 19th. I've got to be there myself again on April the 8th. And if I get an opportunity to come down on Friday morning at 9:30, I will do. But I can't promise at the minute. It's just now I know you're there, I'm going to see if I can schedule things around it. So,
Tim. And Sonny, you will know it's Tim, because you'll hear a little bell. We'll have your special gang.
I'll have a little bell on a collar around my neck. Yeah, that's it. Well, now it's
but,
me.
But it does seem a travesty of justice when there was none of these other. And I know I was there. I was there, and I saw what was going on down the. And it was down on the the left side where the stage was, and Tommy and Kevin. It was down on the other side of the corner when it passed where the toilets was, wasn't it? They had the porter toilets, didn't they? And it was in that far corner there where that they all kicked it off, wasn't it, Sonny?
Yeah, near the ICU building,
there.
I think it is.
Ladies and gentlemen, I can guarantee you, we don't lie. And there was UAF because there was spotters. Because I had my old mate Dave saying, I mean, look, Jeff, there's a spotter there. Hang on, there's another one over there. You see, they're on the mobile. Look, you know, we bloody know. We're not bloody stupid. And when the police say there wasn't none of them around where that was, our lads are involved in whatever's going on, as Sonny said, what they're fighting with ghosts or being attacked by ghosts. That's just crazy that a policeman said that. I hope he said that. There was a tape made of it because he's lying. That is lying, what he said there.
Well, Jeff, it's actually funny because after our conversation Friday night, I actually got on YouTube, and if you type in an EDL Birmingham demo UAF last year, there's actually a member of the UAF that were wrestled to the floor and escorted out that were actually stood. There was two of them stood amongst us in the demo that were heavily escorted out.
I can remember a few people being wrestled to the ground, and where I was over sort of the left of where I was at the back a little bit, but I was not too far from the stage, and I remember seeing something going on and the police taking or dragging a couple of people away. So that, what you were saying there is what I saw, Sonny. So but it does seem sad, doesn't it, that you know, that they would sort of, and where they've been told to by the hierarchy and by the government to go after any lads that's involved with the EDL, and this is what's happening all the time. But anyway, Sonny, you know, we'll be thinking of you, mate, and you could just hopefully you hadn't had too much trouble before. And maybe, or I don't know what they'll do, because you put your hands up to that you returned fire or something or other, didn't you, mate, or whatever. So it's hard to say how they're going to see it, sort of thing, that day. So I wish you well, brother. I really do.
Well, as I say, it's all looking good. I've got my bacon bought ready for the morning to prepare myself. I know we've got a few good Patriots, unfortunately. A few Patriots actually wanted to come down to support us. But also falling on that day is Pete's funeral, as you know, Jeff, the Patriot that sadly passed away. So thoughts will be with him on that day too.
As we did mention that, I'd say he passed away last Monday, didn't he? Bless him. And as I say, thoughts and prayers go to the family and his friends. He was a well-loved guy and a popular man, and be sadly missed amongst us all. So, as I say, and his funeral's the same day as you got the court appearance then, so, yeah?
Yeah, and also, one thing I'd like to say, a big thank you to my friend that's also in it. He's been a great lad. He's disabled himself, put himself out of the way to stand by me and his mum and dad. So there's got to be a big thank you to them, because they've showed a lot of support, and guys, along with all the other guys in the chairman and the Patriots. So hopefully it all goes well. As I say, we just in there, just let them feed the crap that they're going to try and feed us and help, you know what I mean?
Yeah, well, I'm getting just a little bit of I'm just reading from the studio, from the chat room. Agador says, same from across the pond, Sonny, we're thinking of you, brother. So there you go. You are well. The thing about it is, he's made a big hit, hasn't he, Kel? Sonny is, with and all from American listeners and a Canadian friends and that. You know, he's you become, you know, very very popular very quick, Tom, Sonny, amongst these good people. So, and they're all thinking of you, mate, and do know it's a travesty of justice. People are not silly. Are they, Tim? They know what's going on. They know that we're trying to be silenced. We said that they would use, they pull out all tactics because they're worried. They are worried. The politicians, the powers be, are worried. They know of our popularity. They know we have global support. And what do they do? Let's start taking them off the streets then. You know, it seems like their support is growing and growing. We must do something positive. It's getting out of hand. You can imagine the way they're talking, can't you, say? This is the reason why that we find a lot of our patriots come under pressure. Because no matter what they say or do or try, not even to talk about us, because they know anything they talk about with the EDL, our numbers go up. It's a known fact.
Well, what's funny, Jack?
Sorry, Tony.
Oh, what's funny is a very good friend of mine. Jeff?
Yes, sorry, Sonny. It just broke up then. I don't know. I didn't get what you said there, mate. I'm sorry.
Well, I was just going to say it's funny because a very good friend of mine, Annie, in the street, she told me it's funny how that none of the angels, the ladies, are being sentenced. Maybe that's because they don't have pressed the angels and the female side of it. It seems to be only men they're targeting, you know?
Yes. Well, in one sense, I suppose it would be more problematic because a lot of the ladies have got, you know, they've got children, this, that, and the other. So I think they're concentrating more on the males, you know, the men than the ladies. I might be wrong, you know, Sonny, but you, that is a good point you've made there that. We're not hearing the rest of our angels like we're hearing of our patriots that's been arrested and been, let's call it what it is, persecuted, victimised. We've got different names for the way that we're being treated. You see, because being a patriot, son, as you know, is a bad word amongst politicians. They hate the word. They hate the word, and that's the reason why they try to do everything, because patriots, well, you know, it is a lonely, being a patriot, we've said this before, it can be a lonely place because of the road that you've got to walk, and there is all sorts of obstacles that's put in front of your way just to make your life very difficult. But the true patriots out there, continue because they are patriots. It's the love of one's country, isn't
exactly.
it?
Exactly. Not on our own, yeah. Like you said. We are pushed out there, being attacked from all sides. But like you said, all the patriots are together. We've had a lot of support from Northern, like Canada, North America, and Germany. We're all sticking together. The thing is they just think a patriot are just. They just think, oh, it's just the English Defence League. No, because we all support each other. We've got heavy support from over the pond over there in America, North America and Germany, because they're having the same problems. And the thing is, like we've said plenty of times, we might be in a pickle at the minute. We might be on the losing side, but it's going to be a long battle. Rome wasn't built in a day, Jeff. And
well,
that's
a good point
time, but
there.
We will win.
That's a very good point. A possibility in a little bit, we might have a gentleman called Brian calling in about the situation in Ukraine. So, and I've already just said to him, yes, you can call in, Brian, something which is very topical at this moment in time. I thought I had another call from him. But, no, I've got to just say a big hello to is it Sue there, is it? Yeah, I can see Sue in the studio. We've got a few people. So if you want, actually, I've just seen some calls go up there. And if one of you is Brian, and would you like to just raise or put one there so that we know you want to come and talk on the show? Because I've got a number of people now. There you go. I've got... I'm not sure, but I'm not sure. I've got one here. Yeah, sorry about this, guys, because it always happens that the studio's looking like a Christmas tree. All these lights lighting up, Sonny. If I could take this call, this is 267, so Yeah, Paula, you are live on English Defence League radio show. I'm not sure if it's you, Brian, or you're just calling in about something that we've been discussing. So go ahead.
This is Brian calling.
Hi, Brian. Welcome to the show.
Hi. Thanks for taking my phone call. I just wanted to, if I could, add some comments. I think the most significant thing going on right now is the whole situation in the Ukraine, and I'm very concerned that with the way things are headed, we're going to end up in a new Cold War with Russia. It just looks like the goal seems to be to create a global empire and invade the rest of the world.
Well, it does feel very much like a Cold War feel about it, doesn't it? Putin's bullies put the middle finger up to Obama and says, spin on it. This is internal. This is our affairs, and basically. But at the same time, they're doing the diplomatic thing. They're talking. But at the same time, the Russians are gradually moving people forward and engulfing Crimea. Typical tactics. Talk at the same time. Move the. It's like a chess game, isn't it? Gradually move your pieces to different spots. Take over certain facilities. And this is what we've been seeing over the last week or so, haven't we, Brian? And it is a very worrying situation. I'd agree with you. It has got a Cold War feel about the whole situation, and that's not very healthy for anybody. But your views of it, Brian, I mean, how do you feel things are going yourself?
I mean, I think, and I think as it relates, probably I'm new to your show here, but I think as it relates to Europe, my conclusion is that there's different terms for it. People have called it the New World Order. They've called it the Anglo-American Establishment, different things. But the goal seems to be to create an empire along the lines of Alexander the Great, Genghis Khan, Napoleon, et cetera. That's why we don't have border security. That's why we have all the offshoring of jobs. And that's why there are these endless interventions. And from what my understanding of Ukraine is that the reason why Victoria Nuland and the Obama administration funded the coup in Ukraine is because the Ukraine's been in financial distress for quite some time, and they had the choice of either taking a loan from the IMF, which would have meant a loss of their sovereignty and a big dose of austerity, and eventually joining NATO and the EU, or taking a much more generous loan from the Russians, which wouldn't have required a loss of their sovereignty, a reduction in their standard of living. And it seems to me that the elites want all these other countries in Europe to join the European Union and surround and encircle Russia and put Russia in a situation where, an impossible situation, where they either have to stand up for themselves and defend themselves, or the next step is going to be funding and fomenting a color revolution in Russia. I think we're dealing with a bunch of moronic sociopaths. I really do.
Well, yeah, I think most of us would agree that it is a bit of a turmoil at this moment in time. And I think most of the world leaders really don't know what to do about this situation. It's quite obvious that the world leaders we've got, you know, don't really want to stand up. They can say what they like. Well, you know, we can impose this and that, but they don't really want to go up against him. He's coming across as a very strong leader for the Russians, hasn't he? He's coming, and he's making the rest of them look very benign. I don't know if that's the right word to use, but they're looking very weak. Russian bear raising its head, aren't they? Very much.
I don't think he has much choice. I mean, because I think if he allowed that thing to go on in the Ukraine, and then what would happen is the Ukraine would join NATO, so they would have nuclear missiles right at Russia's borders. I mean, another end, Ukraine would have a war guarantee from the United States. The next step would be then they would probably provoke the elites some kind of a skirmish in Russia and trigger a war, perhaps a world war. Because my analysis is that what stands in the way of globalization and this new world order are nationalists, whether it's the Putin, who's a Russian nationalist, whether it's China, because the Chinese are nationalists in a lot of ways, especially now that they have all the manufacturing. And within different countries, you have these are growing nationalist movements, which some people think is bad, but I mean, I think it's the only thing standing in the way of this global empire, which, you know, for them to achieve what they're trying to achieve, I mean, it would probably require a world war, and these people are just crazy enough to do it.
Well, what can you say about that? I was going to say, Brian, we've got a panel here, and I was thinking of maybe opening up the panel for maybe Kel can ask you a couple of questions on the Ukraine situation. So, Kel, would you like to ask Brian anything about the perception of what's going on in Ukraine and
Yeah, and thanks, Jeff. Brian, hello. It's a pleasure to speak with you. I'm Kel Fritzy. I'm Jeff's producer and one of his panelists. But I just posted an article in the chat room. This is from The Guardian, and this was just published a couple of hours ago. And Crimea voted to secede from the Ukraine on Sunday, as exit polls suggest 93% of ballots were in favor of joining Russia in a referendum that most of the world has condemned as illegal. Now, Brian, are you in the United States by any chance?
Yes, I'm in the United
States.
What
I'm wondering is, how do you feel about President Obama? And I, you know, that it's hard for me to put President in Obama in one sentence, but for the sake of levity or brevity, I will. But Barack Obama's press secretary, Jay Carney, he underlined the White House opposition to the referendum in a statement on Sunday afternoon in which they said, "We reject the referendum that took place today in Crimean region of Ukraine. This referendum is contrary to Ukraine's constitution, and the international community will not recognize the results of a poll administered under threat of violence and intimidation from a Russian military intervention that violates international law." My question to you, Brian, is, do you think the United States should be involved at all with this going on in the Ukraine and Crimea and Russia?
No, but the problem is we have been. I mean, it came out in December. You can find it on YouTube where Victoria Nuland, who's the Assistant Secretary of State, talked about on tape about how they were supporting, quote-unquote, democratic institutions in the Ukraine. In other words, supporting the coup factions. And it's come out that George Soros and a lot of these non-governmental organizations were funding the coup. And the reason why they were funding that coup is they were mad because the president of the Ukraine wouldn't take that austerity bailout loan from the IMF, and they were also mad because he didn't have an interest in joining NATO. So corrupt though he might have been, he didn't want to basically, you know, serve his country up for the IMF and the private bankers. And my opinion of Obama's changed, because I used to just think he was a Wall Street puppet, and now I think he's an incredibly dangerous sociopathic Wall Street puppet. Is quite capable of triggering World War III. And I think, again, as I mentioned before, I mean, the goal really seems to be to crush nationalism, to basically put countries into austerity. And this is, by the way, why Crimea wants to secede, because they see with Yatsenyuk that he's already basically said, we're going to offer our country up to the IMF and to the private bankers. We're going to take about a 30-50% reduction in standard of living. The heating oil and cooking subsidies are going to be gone. And the Crimeans see that, wait a minute, we're going to have a 30-50% reduction in standard of living like Greece or like Italy or Portugal. And look at some of these countries in the EU, like in Italy, for example, where, you know, they elect, I guess, prime ministers or presidents, and they don't even hold an election. They get appointed by the European Union. So there's the democratic process
doesn't exist anymore. Good point.
And there's no check on power with these elites.
No, that's a very good point there, doesn't it, Kel? I mean, that's something that we've often hit on.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, very good point there, Brian. I was going to say, was there any other point you'd like? I was going to pass it to Tim. I was going to ask Tim, who's a part of our panel.
My mind.
Sorry.
I was going to do that, too, because... Brian, you're joining a panel program, and we have there's four of us here today, and we we all want our opportunity to speak with you. But before I pass the mic to Tim, I just have a final question on my end. And I was listening to another radio program the other day, and they were discussing about it's an open line program, and the hosts were talking about Crimea. And one of the hosts said that, no, I really don't think that we should intervene in wars unless they direct us, affect us rather directly. Because, for example, we were, the United States, we were forced into World War II because the Japanese, they attacked Pearl Harbor. And so, of course, we had to take action. And then Germany declared war on the United States because they were aligned with Japan. And so our hand was forced. But in this particular situation, we're not at war with Russia at this point, and we're not at war with the Ukraine. Should we be engaged in an intervention? And then I'm going to let you answer that, and then I'm passing the mic to Tim.
I think it's an act of insanity. I mean, I think we never should have. I think the government and these State Department and the NGOs should have never backed that coup in the Ukraine in the first place. But it seems like they're going to keep pushing ahead, because it seems like they're not going to be satisfied until the Ukraine not only serves themselves up to the IMF, but until they join the EU and join NATO. And Putin is put into a position where he has to defend his country, because I think he realizes if he doesn't do anything, and first off, if they give up Crimea, they'd lose their naval base in the Black Sea. And I think he also kind of has figured, based on all the wars these globalists have put us in the last 15 years in the Middle East, that they wouldn't stop there. So I think you can never underestimate these elites and their willingness to try to expand their, you know, neo-colonialist empire, and their willingness to just continually get involved in war. Except now, Russia's a much more powerful country than any of these other countries in the Middle East. That's just my opinion.
Oh, thank you, Brian. And Tim, I'm passing the mic to you.
I suppose I'm going to probably make an observation rather than ask a question, and it was just based on something that was said on a radio show earlier today, which is that, as you so rightly say, Russia is a much more powerful country now than it was in the past, and it can pretty much do what it wants, certainly in a country like Ukraine, which is geographically very close to the rest of Russia, and there's not a lot that the rest of the world can do about it except shake its collective fist in an impetuous manner. And one of the things that Paul Weston, the chairman of Liberty GB, made a point he made on a program an hour or so ago was that we really are in, and I'm talking about the UK now rather than the West as a whole, but we in the UK are singularly unprepared to handle any kind of or make any kind of input or any kind of dent in a global conflict of this nature, because we have spent the last 30 or 40 years winding down our military. Our political elites have been proceeding almost along the basis that, there aren't ever going to be any major conflicts in the world again, so we may as well just shut down the military in stages every year, take another 10 or 20,000 soldiers off the table. And now, of course, because global events can take a very unexpected turn very quickly, we're in a position where we can do next to nothing. Well, we can't do anything to affect it at all. And a lot of other Western countries are now waking up to the position where they're finding themselves in exactly the same place, in that they cannot easily respond militarily to a move like Putin has just taken in going into Ukraine. And all of a sudden, we're looking at each other and saying, oh, that was a bright idea, wasn't it? We shut down our military and now we can't do a thing. Now, as it happens, I don't think that British interests are going to be greatly affected one way or the other. I mean, that might just be my naive view of the situation. I'm sure there are plenty of other countries who will have an interest, but I don't think Britain particularly has an interest. But I'm certain that there's going to be a lot of people who are now re-evaluating whether or not shutting down the military was a good idea. And I don't know what your views on that, but that would be my observation on the stream of events so far.
Well, I think every country should have the military to defend itself. I don't think there's any question of that. I actually do think, though, that England will hold more power than they realize, because we were very close in America to going to war with Syria in September. And I think it didn't happen for a number of reasons, one of which is that Putin and, to a lesser extent, China put their foot down. But it was also because that vote in the parliament, that war vote in the parliament, went against Cameron. And so once Obama saw that it wasn't just going to be a war with another country in the Middle East, but he would possibly have a proxy war with Russia, and China opposed it, and he saw that the English, and usually they call it the Anglo-American establishment, the New World Order, they saw that the English weren't going to support it. It was then that he at least allowed a vote to come up, and of course the American people weren't for it. So I think the English do hold potentially more power than they believe. And I'm not saying that this is going to end up being a war. I'm just saying I think that these elites are crazier than they normally are, and a lot of times when you intervene in other countries, things take on a life of their own, and you can't control the outcome.
You can
manipulate things behind the scenes. You can destroy economies. You can gut, loot and chisel an economy away, but you can't always control the outcome. And you never know what's going to come out of it, and that's my concern, because I think that these people don't have a full deck.
No, I'm sure. I mean, this is the law of unintended consequences that you're talking about here, and it's one of the reasons where I think we need to be very careful about supporting any sort of military intervention at all. I recall what you were saying about the vote in about Syria last year, and I think it was a good thing too that our House of Commons voted against any kind of intervention. I think if we had got embroiled in a war in Syria with the Americans, I mean, I think we would bitterly regret it, to be quite honest.
I think it would turn, to be quite honest with you, Tim and Brian, I think it would have escalated into the Third World War very, very quickly. It would have escalated if Cameron, and that's the trouble, Cameron was really pissed off because he didn't have his war. And I can imagine him sitting in the corner saying, everybody else has had their wars, Blair he had his, and so-and-so had his, but I can't have mine. But, thank goodness. And what I said at the time, I don't know if you've listened to that show at the time, I said that the common sense prevailed. Because you could see us getting drawn into this, it could be a very much an escalating situation where we actually, come into conflict with Russia and China. And that's it. Before you know it, the stakes have been upped, and we know that they got big weapons. And, you're confronting your enemy who have got as much killing power as what you got, or maybe more. It could be devastating for the whole world. So I'm glad in one sense, that the common sense of the politicians, or, the House Commons did make a stand and said no. Maybe they thought it out. Maybe they're not as daft as what sometimes we think they are, Tim.
Well, that's true. I think there are all sorts of issues surrounding this. Well, one is a bit of a wake-up call. As our caller Brian said, every country should have a military that is capable of defending the country. Now, our leaders are busy running down the military, almost as if they've said to themselves, well, there isn't ever going to be any other major conflict ever again in the history of the world that is going to affect our country, so therefore we can run the military right down. I think that's a foolish position to take. We should maintain a very strong military for defensive purposes.
Cameron made a bad stand? If he wants to take us to another war, Tim, I do sorry about interjecting it, but it's just something I want to get off my mind. He wanted this war. He wanted the war. He wanted to go to war with Obama over the situation. I mean, but what do you think? You know, he's been running down. He's cut the soldiers out. God knows how many he's cut back. And then he wants to take us to war. How stupid can you be to do that?
Well, I'm making a distinction here between getting involved in an offensive manner, taking our troops out to fight in a foreign country, and I'm making a distinction between that and maintaining an army which is capable of quelling internal uprisings and defending ourselves against possible foreign invaders. They're two different things. Now, I think we should certainly be maintaining a very strong set of armed forces for in handling internal uprisings and the possibility of being invaded from without. But I don't think that we should be using that army. Even whether or not it's depleted is by the by. I don't think we should be using that army to go and invade places like Syria, which would involve, I mean, it would be logistically, it would be a nightmare, and we don't have the capability to extend ourselves to a fully fledged war with the law of unintended consequences. You may go in with the best of intentions to start with, but you can bet your boots it will very quickly escalate to something that's going to be out of control for everybody. I don't think we should be in the business of doing that, but I do think we should be in the business of looking at our own our own military capability for defensive purposes, because I foresee stormy clouds ahead, as I'm sure many other of our listeners do. I think we're going to have a lot of trouble in terms of if nothing is done about Islamic encroachment in our own country in the next 15, 20 years. I think we could be looking at major civil disturbances, and I think we need to be prepared for that. And who knows if we get governments in Europe overthrown by Islamic forces. I'm just speculating here, but should it come to having to look at our enemies on our doorstep again in the very near future, we need to be, well, by which I mean 15, 20 years, we need to be prepared for that too. I agree with Brian in as much as you've got to watch out for the law of unintended consequences when you're thinking about getting involved in an offensive war of any type. But I also think that it should make our political elites think again about running the military down to a point where it's of no value to anybody when you have to deal with internal uprisings or as a to maintain defensive capability.
Well said, Tim. I was going to say to him, Brian, we've got Sonny. He's one of the youth of the EDL, and he's sitting there patiently. Sonny, have you got, is there anything that you want to share or you want to talk to Brian about while we've got him? Because I've got another call I'm going to take in a minute, so I was going to just pass it along to you, Sonny, if you wanted to ask Brian a couple of questions there. Go ahead, mate.
Yeah, well, first of all, thanks for calling in, Brian, and having your two pence worth. I mean, it's been great to hear you. I mean, one thing I will say, I agree with, but like, I think the panel and yourself said, I think I've been looking into it. It's a foolish decision. It just seems to me that you're still for Syria and Obama going into Syria to do what they got to do. They now want to charge into Ukraine. I mean, it's like Tim said, Afghanistan was the same to start with when we went into Afghanistan. This happened, Obama and Bush and Blair were that quick to fly into that. But it's like Tim said, we are having major problems with the depletion, well, the cutdowns of forces over here. They're cutting forces down, but they're reacting quick enough to want to send us to hostile countries like this. But in all fairness, the way I see it personally from my side of the view, is that this Ukraine problem has nothing to do with America or England in any way, shape or form. That they're having their own little tough, and that in my opinion, they should be left to it. We don't need to spend the money, resources or anything else in someone else's squabble. You know, it just seems like David Cameron wants to run out there and get in there. I mean, it's almost like he's a warmonger. But I believe we have better causes to spend resources and better things to do in our time than go and interfere. Because, like you said, Russia, they're a big country, and I mean, and Putin certainly isn't one to not give his word, and he's having his own little squabble over there. And I don't believe that we even have the right to go over and mess with their affairs. It's just something that I think America and Obama and Cameron need to put their noses out for once. It just seems to me that every time there's a war that happens or a conflict, David Cameron or Obama or Blair and Bush before the time just want to jump in there and get their noses in.
Trying to be the world's policeman is proving that we can only do so much. You know, we're only, you know, when you look at us, we're just a little island, aren't we? Okay, we've got a lot of political clout. You know, we've got, you know, a lot of respect. The people respect us, who we are and what we're about. But we're still small, you know, and at the same time, we can't please the whole world. You know, there might be situations where we've got no choice. But I would say they're the choices. You know, when it comes to it, where it's, you know, that we could be invaded or something like that. Yes, there's a chance that, yeah, we would go to war. But to go into other people's conflicts and get ourselves involved and embroiled in those sort of things, it's very cost-worthy. And also the sacrifices of our soldiers as well, which is involved. That's the whole thing, isn't it? You know, we send our troops here, there, and it's, you know, and you know, you fight wars, and we're going to lose soldiers. There's no doubt about it. You know, sometimes you'll be lucky, but you know that any conflict, that you're going to take some sort of casualties, aren't you? And we can't afford to keep, you know, sending people here, there, and everywhere, especially when Cameron's decided to cut back the forces, and then he wanted to take us to war. It's just unbelievable. I don't know. I can't get around his way of thinking. I really can't. But Brian, once again, I've got to thank you for calling in for the question about Ukraine. Very interesting. You've been a great caller this evening, and it's something that it's nice to get our teeth into some serious issues and topics. So topical at this moment in time. Would you not say, Kel?
Absolutely would, Jeff. Believe me, this Brian, it was an absolute pleasure to speak with you. I hope that we can speak in the future.
I read a lot of history, study a lot of history, and, you know, from what I've read, my conclusion is that great nations that get involved in too many wars are great nations. But if you have a strong, healthy economy, you know, that's far more important than protecting military might and getting caught up in all kinds of foreign entanglements. So whether it's America or Britain or whatever country, if you have a strong country internally, economically, you can remain a superpower for as long as you have a strong economy. And I think with England, I'm not an expert in English politics, but I do follow, have been paying a little bit of attention to the UKIP party. And I think the idea of a party that does not want to give up its sovereignty to the European Union is a good idea. I think if the UKIP party had a good, strong peace message, and also showed that it wanted to be independent from the Bank of England and had a strong economic recovery plan, I mean, that would ensure England's survival for quite some time. But I think that the lessons, when you look at all the empires and great nations that fell from the first two world wars and how much America has declined from all the wars, the offshoring of jobs, and the depressed wages from open borders and illegal immigration, I mean, I think that's something that, you know, the rest of the world should look at. And kind of the countries that do well stay out of war, and they have a hybrid system of capitalism with protectionism and mercantilism, and they have, you know, they don't have unlimited immigration to depress wages. I just think that's something that, just throwing that into the conversation, but I think if you have a party in England that stresses sovereignty and peace, but also a strong economic recovery program, and independence from the central bankers, I mean, I think that England could do quite well for some time. It just seems like the struggle's always been the oligarchs and the elites versus the masses, and the oligarchs and the elites have been winning an awful lot the last 30, 40 years.
No, I agree. Brian, once again, I'd like to thank you for calling in on the show this evening. I hope you call back another time, because it's been totally enthralling with your call this evening and some great points that was made during the conversation with yourself and the panellists and myself. So I've got to thank you once again, Brian, and come back, call in again on another show. We'll wait to see what else we could come back with, because it's been really good this evening. Thank you so much, Brian.
Thank you for taking my call.
You're very welcome, brother. Thank you. Right. There you go. What great call,
Jeff.
Girl.
It was fantastic. It was wonderful. It's great when we have callers like that, unlike the trolls that we had Friday. Brian, you believe me, you won't know how much we appreciate your call after the fiasco we went through on Friday with people. It was,
but it was fun, though, Kel. Come on, in the end. We,
I know,
you,
I know.
We got down with them, didn't we? But we're going to get it now and again. We're going to get that now and again. But
of
I was going to say, Kel, I was going to say, I know
are
I've
you
got
ready
Frank,
for a break?
Yeah, I was going to say, because I've gone past me cocoa time. I mean,
I know. It was just so enthralling, though. And
it was.
Yep, and I've got a song lined up for break.
Oh, bless you. Thank you, Kel. Ladies and gentlemen, you know, tonight, we never know the sort of the way the evening is going to go. And with Brian calling in, it was an absolutely fantastic call. And that's what the show's all about. We never know what direction we might go in, do we, Kel and Tim and Sunny? So, once again, it was great to take the call. So, with that, I'll pass it to Kel, and we'll be back after a short break. Thank you, guys.
You bet. Everybody, we'll see you all back here in 4 minutes and 37 seconds.
there you go. And I just managed to get, Kel, I just managed to get back in time for that tune. That was great. Thank you so much for that. Right, ladies and gentlemen, we're Distinguished Defence League radio show. I hope you've enjoyed the show so far. So we had a great caller just a little while ago call in with a great question about Ukraine, which the panel, we had a chat about it. So if you missed it, just come in. Hope you listen to the archives, because I think you'll find it's very, very interesting. Let me see. I was going to say, we've got Frank. Oh, my goodness me, Kel. We've had Frank, who's been sitting here patiently for a little while. I'm going to invite him. Yeah.
My fiancé is very patient.
You're a terrible tease.
Hi, Frank.
Hey, good evening, everybody. Oh, I don't know if you've been following the chat room. I'm not really good at this, but time I end up typing, I've lost the thread that's going on the radio, you know. And I've got, there's a fella called Doggo come on. He's been putting a cat among the pigeons. I thought he'd phone in and you could have another troll. But anyway, it's
worked. Oh, I see. I'll be quite honest with you. I haven't been following it.
No, I beg your pardon. I've been. That's I was distracted. But anyway, apart from this war business and everybody going to war and all that, it seems to me like they don't join in. They stirred it up. They set it all up beforehand. You know, they took all you to get in there, and everybody knows. If you scale it down to your own family, you get a domestic quarrel, and everybody instinctively knows you've got to back off to let them sort it out. Because if you go in there, you're going to get ripped up to shreds by a pair of them. You know that. You come between a brother or sister. You come between the cousins. If a neighbour comes in, God, God help him, there's fur flying. And everybody unites against this dumb, well-meaning idiot who walks in amongst it. They all unite against him. He gets chucked out, and 10 minutes later, down they're still at him. I mean, it's like kids.
I've thought about that many times in that way.
Yeah, my dad gets stirred up with their kids, and they start around. Next thing you know, the kids are out over the woods playing, and the adults are ripping each other to bits. They do this on purpose. Yeah. They know exactly what they're up to. And we're being distracted. I mean, there's...
Of course we are, mate. Okay. Of course we are. I'll just get saying, Frank, if you don't mind, I've just... There's a new... Someone has just actually come onto the into the chat tonight. Is Match 74005. She's glad I found the show. I've heard so much about it. So I'd just like to say welcome to the show. And I hope... you bookmark this and you make it a place. We've got great archives of different shows we've done before, so you can listen to some of the previous shows. So I also like to welcome our new listeners and new people that are in the chat room, guys. It's really good to know. She said he's heard a lot about the show. So that's it. Tell your friends, the more the merrier. Didn't we say that, guys? The more the merrier. So it's great. So I just hope you didn't mind me, Frank. I just had to say, because the text is going too quick.
I was going into one. I could take a hint. I'm getting the hang of this, you know.
What's he like? I'm getting into it, like you said. Well, that's good, Frank. And it, as I say, it's always great to you've got some great views as well, and that's what it's. That's why we love having this the panel that we can all share. You know, when we all get angry, certain things really rubs us up the wrong way. Certain things that you know that we come across now and again, but at the same time, it's nice to share each other's views and of course our listeners. And do you know what, Kel? Do you know what I haven't done tonight? You must excuse me for a minute, Frank. I haven't given out the number. What am I like? I need the back of my leg slapped, you know.
With a wet noodle? Can I do it?
Wet lettuce, Kel. But anyway, I'll do this, Frank, and I'll get right back to you, buddy, because it's always great to have you to chat to you. So anyway, guys, if you're a Blog Talk Radio user, which is free, and if you're hooked up to Skype, if you sort of left-click the blue, he's got a blue little circle with the S in it. If you press that, you click on that, should I say, you follow promptly, you have someone say, do you want to talk to the host or do you want to listen to the show? You'll press 1 on your device. But if you haven't got anything like that, and you just want to call in, if you're outside the USA, the number to call in would be 001-858-777-5934. Repeat, 001-858-777-5934. And as I say, this is your place, this is your platform, and we like to take all calls. And even if we do get a few trolls, well, we can deal with the trolls in our own way, can't we, Kel?
Mm-hmm.
Get your truncheon out, Kel. There you go. So, but then again, we do like, we can do a lot of people to call in, and maybe some of their views don't depict the same as our views, but it's always good to have a little bit of a debate on these certain issues.
Silence!
Guys.
I kill you!
He's back! He's bloody back! How did he get through? I put extra security
in
the door.
I'm on it. Ahmed, get out of here.
Watch
it.
Watch. Don't hit him on the back, so he's got them exploding underpants on again, girl. God. You know, they're like, don't trust them, mate. Frank, this geezer, he gets in all the time. He always leaves such a load of mess. He sneaks in. I think he must have limbo danced under the bloody door or something, under the people standing there. But never mind, he's...
Well, the only thing you can do with bones, mate, is make soup. Just put them in the pot.
Exactly, Frank. But as I said, like, we were having an interesting evening tonight. Is there any topics we really wanted to discuss tonight? Oh, there's something I wanted to say. Kel, you know, we've got the English Defence League radio. We don't care. Now, there's something behind that. I was trying to look into it a little bit later, but I just didn't have enough time. So I was wondering if you could what's that about? And we don't care. What's that about?
EDL Radio?
Yeah, it's just we don't care. It's just the banner.
Oh, I changed that. Yeah. I was going to bring up a topic and about how we don't care about Islam, but I think that the discussion regarding Russia, the Ukraine, and Crimea should take precedence as the banner for the show description tonight, because, Jeff, it was just absolutely fascinating. But, yeah, we get a lot of slack from a lot of people, Jeff and Frank and Sonny and Tim, and that there's a lot of commentary out there about, first of all, the English Defense League, of course, is always getting the slack, but it gets personal with some of us, and we are only here, we're the conduits in that we're delivering a message. We're not Muslim bashing or anything like that. We talk about the political ideology of Islam and its encroachment in the West. We have a problem when you want to settle in the West. That's fine and dandy. You're more than welcome. Have a great time. But please do not impose your political ideology on us, because it is Sharia imposed, and we do not want Sharia in our West. We do not want your totalitarian attitude. We do not want you bringing over your baggage with your the strife going on in your home countries. We do not want it here. We do not want to hear about another case of sex grooming gangs, female genital mutilation. We do not want to hear about honor killings. We do not want to hear about anything Islamic here. So you know what? When you start to whinge and whine and complain and start taking people like Ezra Levant of Sun Media TV to a human rights tribunal because he was writing disparaging things about you, or if you take Tim Burton of Cat Strangler 101 to court because he called you what you are, a grievance-mongering taqiya artist, and you get all your hurt feelings out and you use our legalese against us and you use our constitutions against us, we're not putting up with it because, you know what, quite frankly, we don't care.
Round of applause.
I second that. Well said, Kel. That is the case, and that's what we talk about all the time. We don't want no barbaric laws in this country. We're quite happy, and like most of the people, wherever you might be, I'm sure you don't want to see Sharia laws imposed into your country. You've only got to look in the Islamic world exactly to what they do. Women put into the ground. They can't protect their faces, stoned to death. Homosexuals hung from giant cranes. You see that in Iran. Ladies and gentlemen, if you haven't seen that, where have you been? Because that is the case. We don't want to see this barbaricness on our streets. And we will fight all the way to prevent this from happening in our countries. We don't want it. It's not... It doesn't belong in the 21st century, does it, guys? It does not belong here. It belongs into a long, dark past, and that's where it should stay. We don't want those things in this country. Am I still alive, Kel? I do apologise to you about that. It's just I heard something go blink, and it was like a Skype thing, and I thought the call had dropped or something.
You know what?
Skype.
Sorry, that's my Skype.
I heard something go blink, and I thought it was me. That's why. My apologies, ladies and gentlemen. This is now and again when you hear, you think you've
got... Uh-oh.
Oh, Kel's got an incoming call. Incoming! But, yeah... but that's I'm glad you said that, Kel. We don't care about all these things. You know, we're fed up with you trying to impose things and trying to change the laws with the different tactics you use, creating your own apartheid in parts of our country, trying to say that you don't belong here, you're not Muslim, you can't come near us. We are the Sharia. We're the Sharia police. You know. We're not going to put up with it. And if you like it or not, and if you want to come in like that, well, you know, and you don't like our laws, why come here? Why stay here? You know, because that's the way it's going to be. It doesn't matter what you try to do to change it. I'll tell you what, people like us will stop you in your tracks. And I'm speaking as a collective there, and I do mean that we, every single one of us, we won't allow you to do your evil deed of trying to create Sharia laws in this country or any other country across this globe. And we will fight you all the way to stop it happening. Just because we've got dimmies for politicians, that doesn't mean that we, the people, follow what these politicians say.
That's going to change, right?
Yeah, it certainly is, because people are bad enough, aren't they? Right? They're really... wound up with the way things have been. But anyway, I have to say that it's just because it makes me so angry the way that these people try to change laws in our country. They run up, the thing that gets me, ladies and gentlemen, a lot of these people, they leave their countries because of Sharia law, because the Sharia laws are harsh. They want freedom, so they come to the United Kingdom. They go to America. And when they're there, all of a sudden they think, you know what, it wasn't quite as bad. It's hypocritical. And then they try to change things to what they had before. What's the sense behind that, guys? Can you ever make that? Because I can't.
Feeling it's something they just don't seem to be able to associate their actions with the consequences. I mean, they come over here because they've been forced out because it's insufferable. And then when they get here, they insist on their own language, their own way of going about things, their own frame of mind, their own traditions. And then they wonder why it all to this bloody madhouse that they ran away from. They just don't seem to be up. It's either on purpose, and they've lied to us, they didn't really want sanctuary, they wanted to invade us, or they just haven't got a clue what sanctuary is. They just keep bringing the disease with them.
Oh, I just got feedback.
Did you, Kel? Is it from my end? I hope it's not from my end.
I think it's gone.
I hope you don't mind, Frank. I've just seen, Dutchy, there's a link in the chat room, and that this is latest video. So I'd like to say, anybody that hasn't seen it, I don't think I've seen it yet, and I'm looking forward to it, so I'm going to check that out. Have you seen it yet, Kel?
Yeah, actually, I have. And actually, that would be a really good one to play. I also have another clip here from Michael Corrin of Sun Media.
Awesome.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
Well, I didn't know this. Wow.
Did you know that his dad died today?
Wow.
Did you realise Mike's dad died today? Michael Corrin's dad.
What?
He died. Michael Corrin's dad. He was famous over here. He was a great bloke. David Corrin. His dad died. He died today.
Of Sun Media?
Yeah, he was in. He was well known in our media. Yeah, he was editor of I can't remember what paper. He's on quite a lot of their satire shows. He was good.
Yeah. Oh, that's very sad.
He went
to go
today.
Out to Michael and his family. I mean, losing his father.
Thanks for that bit of information there, Frank. I'm just saying that's Michael.
Michael Corrin is alive and well.
Yeah, that's Michael Corrin.
No, his father passed away, I think Frank was saying, Kel.
Oh, sorry. Oh, okay. Oh, that's too bad. Oh, that's too bad.
And his daughter plays poker, and she's in the media quite a bit as well. Yeah, they're all there. Anyway, yes, I like him. I like Michael Corrin a lot. I mean, the way he respects the people he interviews. And he's not the same way he means. It's good to follow him. I subscribe to him and Pat.
Yeah,
highly
recommend. He's a good man. It's a great show. You're lucky you got Michael Corrin over there, Kel. You're lucky. He shows all the time, can't you?
Oh, we are blessed with Michael Corrin. He is now a Canadian treasure, and his roots where he came from is just absolutely phenomenal. And he grew up on the east side of London. His father was a cab driver, and he came from humble roots and stuff.
Michael Corrin, his dad. Well, I'm sure he was the son of David Corrin. I'm sure of it, and that he was the editor of a paper. He lived in Cricklewood, in North East London, the posh end. You know, maybe I've got it all wrong. Maybe it's different altogether. But I've always thought they were father and son. That's amazing. That I beg your pardon.
No. But I was going to say, Frank, as I say, Kel's got a great clip, actually, from the Sun, Michael Corrin's show, the Sun TV, isn't it? It's called, isn't it, Kel? And
that's right.
Absolutely fantastic. And I was going to say, Kel, could you play that clip? And maybe, because we've got a busy chat room, we could have a bit of a roll call for everybody this evening, because we've got some great people sitting in the chat room this evening. If that's all right with you, Kel, after the little clip there. So with that,
over
to you, Kel. Thank you.
And I'll play that right now. And this is 4 minutes long. And so here we go, Jeff and Frank.
Thank you, Kel.
And Sunny and Tim.
You've just entered the arena. I'm Michael Corrin, and a grand show planned for you this evening. Now, after the Shafia monstrosity, how does one discuss the state of the Islamic faith without causing offense? Well, frankly, it's almost impossible. Now, I'm not talking here of a fear of abuse and attack or of being accused of political incorrectness. I couldn't give a fig about that. No, I mean the need to hold on to common courtesy and avoid making generalizations that could hurt good, innocent people. We used to be told by pop stars and other great philosophers that the Russians love their children too. It was self-evident that all people love their young. Well, now I'm not so sure. I mean, do the Palestinians, for example, love their children too? I should think most of them do, but I have to be candid. Many of them don't. Nobody who loves his or her child will send that little being out as a suicide bomber. Nobody who loves their children will line them up in front of enemy tanks. The natural instinct of a loving parent is to hide the children. Armed struggle and resistance I can understand, even if I don't approve. This, though, is something entirely different. I have seen it at first hand for myself. Mothers screaming for their tiny offspring to come out of the house, stand in front of Israeli patrols, and throw stones at soldiers. I take here no position on the cause of Israeli or Palestinians, but I do on the moral substance of a parent who would send children to fight the battles of adults. Do not, please, do not tell me that they have no option. There are legions of young Palestinian men willing to kill Israelis. It's just that children can sometimes go undetected. When British Muslim fundamentalists planned terror attacks in Britain, arrests were made in Ilford, my hometown. Now, boring it may be, but nobody is oppressed in Ilford. Muslims who grew up with British democracy, free British healthcare, free British education, and British toleration have no reason to kill anyone, let alone those who gave them such privilege. Remember, these people came to Britain, as they did to Canada, to escape Islamic harshness. It is the pluralistic openness and decency of Europe and North America that has allowed so many Muslim immigrants. How ironic and how tragic that a minority of those people hate that very pluralism and decency and want to slaughter women and children in the name of their God and their cause. In Iraq, captured enemies are disembowelled and left to hang from wires in the street while children dance. German bomber pilots, their planes shot down, would parachute into London after destroying entire towns during the Second World War. Almost without exception, they were treated properly as prisoners war. It's not about colonization, globalization, Zionism, American dominance, or any other cliche. The Muslims themselves are colonizers, having pushed most Christians out of the Middle East, and the Ottoman Turks, Muslims all, colonized the region for centuries. Arabs colonized Persians, Assyrians, Kurds, and many others. The Saudis, sponsors of so much terror, are nobody's victims. They are wealthy beyond belief and deprive women and minorities of most basic civil rights. This is something deeper, darker than an imagined fight against a foreign foe. There is a virus at work. For the sake of the good, law-abiding Muslims of the world, the majority, we cannot pretend any longer that it's about anything other than what it is. A religion gone mad, a religion gone bad. Stop the lies. They only make it worse.
And of
course,
I got to thank Blazing Cat for providing that link and allowing us to play it. So, and there you go. That was Michael Korn of Sun Media Canada talking about how the Islam religion is a rotten religion and it's gone mad and bad. Oh, it's gone mad. I've always been confused by that. I always thought it was.
What's this, Cal? I have this slogan you've been using lately. Stop the insanity.
Mass Islamity, stop the insanity.
I love that slogan. I don't know how you got that together, but ladies and gentlemen, say it again. Once more for the ladies and gentlemen out there, Cal.
Mass Islamity, stop the insanity. And I also
stole that
from Blazer Cat fur.
Absolutely brilliant. So there you go. For Blazing Cat, thank you so much. It's a great slogan. It's a bit like
Is Tim here? Is he here? Is that Tim?
Tim just sent a message. He got an urgent call that he had to take, but he's going to be back.
Okay.
And we lost Sonny. Oh, we got Sonny back, and we've got Frank back. Okay.
Yeah.
Hi, Sonny, are you there?
Yeah,
it's weird. It's showing that they dropped, but Sonny is still in the studio, and so is Frank.
Well, hello. I can't see.
Sonny?
This is Frank.
We got Frank. Do we have Sonny?
Yeah.
Can you hear me, Carl?
You there, Sonny?
Oh, can hear you now, Sonny.
Yeah, got you, boy.
Yeah,
that's
just
right.
Cut off. Halfway through that clip, I was enjoying that and all.
Oh.
I missed it. Mm. I'll catch that bit again. Could you post it for us? Post
it. I put it in the chat room, but I will repost it right now. Here,
Thank you.
What I'm going to do too, Sonny, is I'm going to put it on your Skype page for you directly.
There you go. Sometimes these things happen. We know that sometimes calls get dropped or messed about with, and we do understand that. But there's not a lot that we can do about it. It's just our technical problems that we all experience. Like we've been experiencing last week, haven't we, Kel? So we've got to say that these things do happen. We do hope that the problems are themselves out, and there's probably a lot of people working in the background to stop those situations. It happens often. But we can't, tonight we've had it a little, just before I called in, I had to call in 2 or 3 times before I could get, have my call made to the studio, that's just one of these things. But anyway, I was going to say, Kel, could you do the great honours with the great way that you do the roll call of our great guests that's sitting in the chat room this evening?
Well, that would be my absolute pleasure. First of all, there is the host of the radio program. You're listening to EDL Radio. The host is Jeff Mitchell. I am his producer and one of his panelists. I'm Cal Fritzy of Red Fox Blogger. Joining us is Sonny Boyle, and that is actually better known, a.k.a. Sonny English. We have Frank joining us in the studio. We have Sweet Sue from New Mexico listening on the line, as we do Facebook listening on the line. So thank you guys for joining us in the studio. In the chat room, we have the wonderful Agador, who has his own YouTube show, and
awesome.
Bigfoot, who has his own wonderful blog. And ladies and gentlemen, we always encourage that everybody please post your shows and your blogs in the chat room for everybody else
please.
To get to and enjoy. We have COG joining us. We have the lovely Kath here with us. We have Daz, 115. And Daz, it's great to see you. We have Dodgy Dave, Eric Kyle. We have Getting for Freedom here. We've had numerous guests here. We have No Way 90, who had a banner show last night at the Reactionary Speaks Network, and our very own Tommy English called in. So go to archive, No Way Show, Reactionary Speaks Network, and listen to that from last night. We have the lovely and talented Paul Alexander with his own fantastic blog, in which I borrow a lot of material. We have Reem Soldier, and we have Sandbox. All you guys are absolutely fantastic. We had Holger join us earlier, and, of course, we had Brian, who joined us on the phone earlier. So thank you all, everybody, from the bottom of our humble little hearts. There you go, Jeff.
Fantastic. Thank you. Yeah, guys, thank you so much for supporting the show, and and it's always good to see
and
the chat.
Yeah, what's really fantastic is that, I'm just so excited, is that Matchy, I see him on so many other shows, and this is the first time Matchy's been here. So, Matchy, a very special welcome to you for joining us here at EDL Radio.
Yeah, he said he's heard a lot about the show, and he was so glad to be here. And I always like to make a comment to people that's just coming to the studio, into the chat room, should I say, I hope you come back. You know, as I say, listen to the archives. We've got a lot of great shows that we've had down at the catalogue. But it's just good to see new people in the chat room, isn't it, Kel? New people coming in all the time. So thank you so much, Matt. Great to have you here. And not forgetting all of our listeners, wherever you might be, we do know you're listening in all different places around the world. Thank you. As we scared myself said before, there wasn't you, there wouldn't be us. So thank you for your continuing support. It's great to know that we have global support. The radio show, the English Defence League, has global support. Even though our politicians hate it, it's there. Because people know what we're doing is the right thing. It's quite obvious. There is nothing else. We're not getting politicians to speak out against the things that goes on in this country. It takes myself, it takes people like Tim, Tommy, Sonny, all the great people to speak out. Just Joe Public, just ordinary people. I'm just like you guys. I'm just an ordinary person like you who's had enough of the crap that's been that we've seen in our countries, the political correctness, this evil cancer that's had its tentacles, it's caused so many problems, and the dimitude with our politicians. We're fed up of it. We like to see people, leaders. We do not like to see the appeasers. It really makes us angry. And one day, that will be put to right. The wrongs that you see before us, the injustices, especially the way that our patriots are being persecuted and being treated like they're pariahs. This is the problem. This is what we've got. But that will be addressed in the future. We guarantee that.
Absolutely, Jeff. And I think somebody's ears were burning because we've got ourselves a wonderful gentleman in the studio, and my EDL son, Tommy English, is here.
Not our Tommy English, not the man himself, Mr. English.
The man himself.
Whoa, welcome.
Hi, Tommy.
Tommy.
Good evening, everybody. I've literally got back from work.
Hello, Tommy. Working on Sunday as well. My goodness me. So, well, it's good to hear you, Tommy, and I hope you're well. Well, we've heard from No Way that you was on his show last night as well, Tommy. You? What do you like?
Oh, you know me. I get around the block quite a bit.
Yeah, you hear that, Kel? He gets around the block a bit. Got a big bike, haven't you, Sam?
A bicycle built for two, Jeff.
Well, as I say, people like, you know, the thing about it, like yourself and Sonny, people love listening to you guys. You know, they like to hear young people with your views and what's going on, being patriots. And that's what I'm saying, the sacrifices and the persecution that you lads have got to go through, what you've been going through. But it doesn't dampen your spirits. That's what, you know, the message comes through, loud and proud, that no matter what they say, no matter what they do, you know, lock me away, throw the key. You won't kill the patriotism in me. You won't kill the love of my country, what makes my heart beat. And that's the thing that resolves what revolves around people, you know, like yourself, Tommy, and of course, Sonny. Yeah, good to have you here anyway, Tommy. So you know you've just finished work. Just kick your shoes off, didn't you? Just kick them off and jump
in. Literally. I've still got them on.
He's still got them on. Goodness me.
Tommy, we have a question from the chat room for you, and this is from Eric Kyle. He wants to know, do you know Gail from that BBC special that aired last Monday? Have you met her? Do you know her at all?
I do.
Fantastic.
Can you get in touch with her? Because on the chat show, before you came in, Eric suggested, you know, that she should come on and egg. They say they both proposed that she'd be the sort of angel to come on, you know, and tell us.
Yeah, well, it's funny you say that, Frank, but, you know, Glenn, believe it or not, Glenn was supposed to be in touch because we had this conversation, myself and Kel, that that he was going to have this. We had a conference call, didn't we, Kel? And it was proposed that we'd like to have Gail on. We was hoping that it would have been this Sunday, but Frank, it's in our sight that we'd like to have Gail on the show. So we're not sure when it'll happen. So Tommy, you know, maybe you can have a word with Gail if she wants to come on.
Yeah, I can do.
Yeah, because it'd be great.
But I was here on the 29th, weren't I?
Yes.
Well, I reckon you'll keep me quiet anyway, shove it.
But yeah, as I say, we talked about it because Glenn, when me and Carol and Glenn was having a chat, was having a conference, we did discuss, because the it was so fresh in everybody's minds about the documentary that was on, that we thought it'd be great if we could have Gail on, say, for this week. But as I say, it hasn't happened at this moment in time. But we just hopefully, when you get to talk to her, or as I say, Glenn gets to talk to her, she'll be able to come on the show, and then we can let people know, then, can't we, mate?
Mm-hmm.
Well, as long as she's out there.
I'm sorry, I'm reading the chat room.
Didn't you hate silence?
I'm reading the chat room, and Agador said that we need more of the angels on the show to mix things up a bit Kel keep all the dudes in line. Because as everybody knows, it's like herding cats in here sometimes.
Yeah, so that's a shout out to all our angels out there. And don't be shy, to call in on the show, because we love to have you on the show, and our listeners would love to hear your views as well, being a part of the English Div, that great
organization. Don't be shy, girls. We don't bite unless you ask nicely.
But, as I say, that's it. We've, the message is out there. Guys, ladies, if you're out there, our angels, and you listen to the show, you can call in any time, Thursday, Friday, Sunday, and we've got, Kel's got the biscuits, and we've got tea. If you like a little, a little drink, we'd probably do that as well, wouldn't we, Kel? We look
That's
after
right,
our...
Absolutely.
We look after our...
The studio is always full of roses and hot tea and biscuits, so there you go. You'll be treated like queens. Ladies,
but if you leave
but
it
please
with Jeff,
mind them bloody sandals, because that geezer keeps running in saying, "I'll kill you," and he leaves his bloody sandals. So be careful when you come in the door. Is that right?
Oh my God! Oh, you know what? Hang on, gentlemen. Oh no! I think he's. Oh
no.
God! Hang on!
Show alert. Show alert.
You don't have any information, facts, or evidence to prove what you're saying is true, and you seem to be talking out of your ass. Please get back to us when you know what you're talking about.
Please hang up and try again.
EDL Radio.
Silence! I kill you! I fat a guy, that little bugger.
Hang on, I'm on it. Get out, active. Get the hell out. And stay away from our tea and biscuits. Get
out. I was very good at that.
Excellent. Anyway, if he tries to nick them bit, they're not halal, mate. They're not halal, so bugger off. Leave them alone.
Yeah, nice pork lardy cakes.
Kel, that was awesome. Marty's a busy man, isn't he, Kel?
Yeah, he's going great guns.
Yeah, certainly is, Frank.
We got to thank Martin Hive for that. Martin Hive puts the best stuff together. Like, it's just brilliant.
Oh, he's a star. Martin, you're a star. Keep doing what you're doing, brother. Everybody loves it. But, yeah, as I say, Tommy, we had it was a really interesting the first part of the show this evening. We had a gentleman called him, Brian, one of our American friends, and he was discussing Ukraine, the situation going on there. And it was a great conversation, and I'm sure if you'd have been here, Tommy, that you would have been definitely engrossed in the conversation that we was having.
Yeah.
You can listen to the archives later, mate. I'll tell you, I think you really enjoyed that part of the show, mate. But as I say, it's good to have you back. I didn't realise you was working today, Tommy. I didn't know that.
Neither did I. I thought I'd stop it.
Sunday again, eh?
It's a weekend doesn't exist
when
you work.
Do you get any time off, Tom? Do you actually get any days off now?
Yeah, I've got Wednesday and the full weekend off this week coming.
Oh, well, there you go. That's not all bad then, is it, mate?
And I've got from the 28th through to the 30th for obvious reasons.
I hope your bank account's so much better now, mate, then.
I'm getting an extra 500 at the end of the month.
Oh, my goodness. No, please. The beers are on, Tommy, guys! Yeah!
Yeah, I probably should broadcast that because I know Peterborough's coming up. And that's on the day of Peterborough's birthday as well.
Exactly, mate.
You'll be getting a limo
for me then, Tommy.
You can have an orange juice. You can have something cheap and domestic.
You can have an orange juice, Frank. He's nice, isn't he? What do you think, Sam? What do you think of Tommy? Just going to give Frank an orange juice, mate.
Oh no, it is horrible, but I've still got to love him. He's still my friend.
And you can have some water as well there, Sonny, on the house.
Okay, Sonny, no, he's not my friend. No, I've changed my opinion.
Hey, I'll tell you something.
Yeah, Sonny, it's been a great part of the show earlier, wasn't it? That Tommy, when Tommy wasn't here, he'd have loved it, wouldn't he?
Oh, yeah.
No.
Yes.
Oh, my picture went all funny on my screen. I thought I was going to... Well, no, it's okay. It's because sometimes if you leave your computer, I don't know if you get the same problem, guys. Now and again, if you're talking like I'm there, all of a sudden your screen will go a bit funny. It's because it's idle, see? Not like me. No, I'm not idle. I'm in my computer. It's idle.
Well, I was just thinking I might be able to relate to the computer because every time Jeff speaks, I go a bit funny as well, but...
Kel, have a word with him and take his name, please.
Brighten you up, Tommy.
You can't use my tactic against me. I invented that.
Don't matter, mate. Don't matter if you invented it.
Jeff,
his name again, Kel.
He has a point.
Yeah, but it's not a point, though. We're about taking people's names. Just take Tommy English name again.
I was just thinking, rather than putting people's names on a piece of paper, we're going to put it on the blackboard. Get the chalk. Oh, I'm sorry, you can't say blackboard. That's not politically correct, is it? What is it now?
What a load of crap that is as well, isn't it, Tommy, eh? Okay, what a load of crap that is.
You can't even say bar-bar black sheep or bar-bar white sheep anymore, can you? Because it's not politically correct.
It's political correctness, as we've said, gone mad.
And what is it?
Let's be honest.
You've got what, all team in England, Blackburn Rovers, and are looking at having to be forced to change their name because it's got the word black in the front of Blackburn Rovers, so they might now have to change their name.
Is that right? Really, Sonny?
Yes.
Yeah, I heard that.
I'll try and get you the link, Jeff.
That's got to be a wind-up.
No, honestly, God, mate, it's true.
Well, I tell you what, it don't surprise me. This is what I'm saying. Ladies and gentlemen, it's about time we put an end to this absolute madness, this political correct madness. It's just gone to one extreme to another, isn't it, now, guys? You've got to admit. I don't know why you feel about it, Kel. What do you think about this? You know, we as kids, we used to say, this is the blackboard. You write on the blackboard with a bit of chalk. But now, because it's political correct, they've changed the name. Chalkboard, I think they call it now, don't they, guys? Chalkboard.
Oh,
like
chalk. Yeah, the blackboard to a chalkboard. Oh, yeah. I mean, they're doing all of that stuff. I mean, it's never ending. What else have they changed? Let me see.
Bar-bar black sheep. You can't do that now.
Bar-bar black sheep.
They...
But, yeah.
Story, but,
Three Little Pigs is no longer read in elementary schools. Let me see. Warner Brothers cartoons are no longer airing. Porky Pig, for example, in certain countries. Let me see. Miss Piggy has been removed from a video that is being featured in the Middle East. It's just, I mean, it never ends, gentlemen.
Rubber Dub Dub, Three Men in the Tub, you can't do that anymore.
Yeah, well,
no, yeah. Oh, well, Tommy, you know why? Because Rubber Dub Dub, Three Men in the Tub connotates a bathhouse.
I tell we're bag of fool.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness, well, that's funny. You was quick off the mark there, Kel.
That's a good one.
Oh, man.
But,
yep. Oh, yeah, and Agador and Getting for Freedom, they're putting stuff in there, is that Agador is saying that the Washington Redskins football team here in the States, the Indians are complaining they want that name changed. It's been there for forever, for decades and decades. No one ever complains,
yeah.
But all of a sudden, in the age of political correctness in which we live, all of a sudden, everybody's got a little hammer to bang.
So it's going to
be
the Washington...
Yeah, as I say, it's mad, isn't it, Kel? Totally mad. But what can you do? You
it's
know, you've got to say enough's enough.
Oh, the Washington Redskins, yeah, they're changing their name. It's going to be called the Washington's A Color from a Crayola Box football team.
Sponsored by L'Oreal Sunblock, because you're worth it.
Getting for Freedom, Animal Farm is being banned in certain schools because of the pigs, of the piggies in it.
First air story from 5 years ago. I was doing this little mucking about with the amateur theatre and all that, and I was going to this college for a couple of weeks. It just got a bit too lovely for me. But anyway, I went, and there was breathing exercises you had to do, yeah? And it was take a deep breath and recite Bar Bar Black Sheep as far as you can go, you know, till you run out of breath. And this one girl, she was half, I think she was born here, but one of her parents was black. And she worked for the local council, yeah? And she just went white. She freaked. I can't say that. I can't say that. And she ran out. If she had got caught saying that, she reckoned, she'd have got sacked because it's racist.
Oh, really? Yeah. And Agador brought up a really good point in the chat room, in that when he brought up the issue of the Washington Redskins, they asked American Indians if they had a problem with it. Almost none of them said no. What's going on is that you've got the lobby groups and the rabble rousers just making a community look absolutely foolish, and they are... just masters at that. Like the Indians in the United States, they don't have a problem with the Washington Redskins. It's the powwow leaders and the lobby groups and stuff like that. They do this, and they just paint the entire community as nothing but whiners, and that is not always the case. So, Agador, thank you for that.
I call them the libturds myself, Kel. That's what I call them, libturds.
Good one.
Well, the thing is, Jeff, if you think, how long now? You've had... obviously, they want to ban Blackburn Rovers Football Club. Then you've got a problem. What about Blackpool Football Club? Before you're going to have Rainbow Pool Pleasure Beach before they ban Blackpool, you know? How far are they going to go?
No, they won't call it Blackpool. They'll just call it Multicultural Pool.
Multicultural Pool?
Or cesspool.
Well, there you go. But... No, as I say, ladies and gentlemen, even though we're in a little bit of a joke about it's a serious aspect of the way that political correctness is being driven in our countries. Because it's probably happened to your country as well. You think, what's all that about? Because we're the same. We think you can't keep pushing things like that and try to say that you can't say blackboard. It's got to be used as chalkboard because there's racial overtones. It's all bollocks. Can I say it? What is it? Bollocks.
Bollocks. It's all bollocks.
Just right. To think, a little while ago, ladies and gentlemen, Kel thought that bollocks, as you all know, ladies and gentlemen, bollocks is a term for testicles. And a while ago, Kel did know that.
We should make up a bollocks song for Kel. We should make like a bollocks song for Kel, really, shouldn't we? You know, something along the lines of, it's all bollocks, bloody bollocks, fuck. Oop, it's one of them.
The short version of this story is, when Kel says bollocks now, you can believe it.
Yeah, that's it. If Kel says it's bollocks, it's got to be bollocks.
Yeah. There you go. And it is true, most of the time. That is so, so true. But it's when I actually explain to it, it's got to be one of my icons of the time of that, the expression that, oh no, 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 she roared. It was funny.
Oh, you know what, though? Oh, boy. You know, the Ayatollah Khomeini, he was so wrong in that there's no humor in Islam. Yeah, we put the humor in it, baby. I hope you're rolling in your grave in hell, because that's where you are. It's funny. You know what? Yeah, Ayatollah, he's dead now, so I'm going to just take my truncheon and bang it on my floor and go, take that, take that, take that.
Yes, why not, Kel? And that, one more.
Go on, Ayatollah. Keep those flames up. You know, fan those flames. Come on.
But, do you know what? Kel, Tommy, Sunny, Frank, we are down to about 3 minutes of the show this evening. And I'll tell you what, I've enjoyed every second of it tonight, guys. Kel, you magnificent work as usual. Sunny, it's always a pleasure. Tommy, it's really great to see you rush home and jump into the studio and be here, mate. It's good to see you. Frank, it's always a pleasure taking your call and being part of the panel this evening. And to all of our, everybody sitting in the chat room tonight, God bless you guys. Thank you for your continuing support. As I said before, and everybody out there listening to the show week in, week out, we'll be back again this. And I've got this lady in my ear going, you've got 90 seconds. But we'll be back again this Thursday. So from myself, from Kel, from Tim, because Tim was here, but he left, but Tim, Tommy, Sunny, Frank, everybody that's associated with this great organisation, the EDL, the English Defence League Radio Show. Take care, stay safe, God bless you all. And with that, so I'm going to say, no surrender ever. And I've got to go underground because it's going to close me down. No surrender, guys.
No surrender.
Thank you, guys. God bless you.
Good night, gentlemen. Good night, everybody.
Good night, Kel. Quite happy, people might say that I should strive for more. But I'm so happy, I can't see the point. Things happening here today. A show of strength with your five brigades. And I'm so happy and you're so fine. You want more money, of course, and of mine. My nuclear test was for atomic rights. And the public gets what the public wants. But I want nothing to say it to dust. I'm going underground. What is the prospect for you? That's the power going underground. What is the voice of signal? It's the voice of shout for tomorrow. Pleasure as they hate me, I've been enough already on my fate. People might need some tension to relax me, I'm too busy dodging through the facts. Here's what you get, you made your bed, you better lie in it. You choose your leader, the place you trust, and the lies will shut down and their promises run. You'll be killing machines with paper, rockets and guns, and the public wants what the public gets. But I don't give up. Let the boys all shout for tomorrow. La la la.
EDL Radio Archive.
Oh, there you go. I'm so pleased that Martin done that little promo for us, Kel. Because I go archive, and it sounds much better, that, doesn't it?
Fantastic.
It certainly is. I love that. And I've got to thank Mark. If you're listening out there, brother, thank you so much. Yeah. He must have been listening. I said we wanted a little jingle, didn't I, Kel? And he was bang on it, wasn't he?
Oh, yeah. Are you kidding? Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, Martin, I swear, he's one step ahead of us most times.
I think so. It's great. He's just a great guy, like, you know. The way that he does things, like you did the troll alert and all that. Hell, it's absolutely classic. I didn't realise we had one there.
So, I just love these.
So I've gone down now I can see different things. What's that, Kel? What's this David Cameron Merlin soundbite? What's that all about? 40 seconds, what's that one?
What's
we
that,
got the YIB sound about. We got a YIB sound. Oh, no, that's Yakety Yak, isn't it? But I've got David Cameron Martin soundbite here. Why don't we just play it? Because I don't know what I've heard.
Played that the other day. Yeah, that is David Cameron and bragging that he doesn't have to deal with the Islamists like we do on the streets do. But here, yeah, take another listen here, Jeffy. Here we go.
Yeah.
Hello, my name is David Cameron. I'm the Prime Minister of England. Muslims can't blow me up. They can't gang rape my daughter, and they can't cut my head off in the middle of the street. So why should I give a crap when it happens to you? EDL Radio.
I love that bit. The end. EDL radio. Good, Kel. Would you like that?
I wish I had his mixing board.
Yes.
Sorry, missed that.
But Frank, did you like those little snippets we had there?
Yeah. Well, the only disturbing thing about it is it rings a bit too true, you know. But
kidding.
Yeah. Good point. It's got a serious side to it, isn't it? Definitely, mate. But but it's good that we can that we can do that, because it does, when people listen to the show and they listen to the archives and listen to that, that does make them think, take everything on board what he's said before in the past. You know, and I can't help but the thing that all springs to my mind is not only what he called, you know, called me, you, Kel, Timmy, Tommy, Sammy, as all a sickness of society. How could we ever forgive a cretin for doing it? I can never forgive him, because it's not so much that it hurt me, it's I found it offensive to all you know, the other EDL members up and down the country and across the world, wherever they might be. That was offensive to everybody, wasn't it, Frank? Absolutely,
to
everybody.
I went after my local MP for that. I went right after him, and I turned up at one of his meetings, and I asked him if during the recent riots, because it was just after, it was That's about right. a week after I caught up with him, when the Muslims and other ethnic minorities came out of their homes and their businesses with swords and to protect their property, you called them, true good citizens. I think you praised them up for their good citizens and their spirit, their spirit of togetherness and all this business. But when we turn up the next day with brooms and shovels, you call us the scum of the earth. I mean,
yeah.
We turn up.
The thing about it is, We got to speak the way it was. Frank, we know up and down this country, the EDL was out there protecting the towns and the cities. Now, David Cameron don't mention that, does he? He doesn't mention that, like, my son's was out in Eltham, protecting Eltham from the bloody looters that was trying to be turning up there.
Right.
No.
We were
and he just wants to call us all a sickness because we decided, you know, there's a lot of people, especially, down there, that they'd had enough and they wanted to protect the streets because the police wasn't doing it. We couldn't see. There was no police around at the time, was there, Frank? There were burners. There was buildings burning, people jumping out the windows. It was absolutely horrific, and the police just stood back or stood away. Look what happened at the... Let's be honest, guys, what happened at Tottenham? They stood there with their arms folded while it burned. It was a total disgrace. I mean, if it was that bad, I'm surprised that the army wasn't brought onto the streets, Frank. That's how bad it really was. It was absolutely horrific. I had friends on the line that they had to do a runner from their home in Lewisham because the rioters were going crazy down there.
Sorry. Yeah, I can tell you how this stuff spreads and all. Because I'm living in another state outside Croydon, and that's pretty self-contained, really. And on the night of the riot, somebody set fire to our local co-op on the parade of shops and smashed a few windows in. And, we knew nothing about it until the next day when it was all... So there was no coppers around at all. So word got round on the local Facebook pages, and there was about 400 or 500 people quite spontaneously met up at the parade. Yeah. After closing, because it was everything was advised to close early and all that, because we weren't expecting any coppers because we never see them any except when it suits them. So we was looking out for this, and a local radio, London Heart Radio, broadcast. Oh yeah, and because we started to gather, there's about 200 police turn up as well. Well, about 100. And we was getting along fine. We was cracking on, getting along fine. As soon as they knew what we was up to, they thought, well, fair dudes, so they stuck around. And then it went out on the radio, on the Metro radio, that there's a confrontation between members of the New Addington community and the police. They put it out as a confrontation. He was cracking up, joking. Anyway, two kids got off the tram, walked across right between the police and us, and started trying to kick in an off-licence. Every one of us, there was about 500, we just stood there aghast. We couldn't believe our eyes. They thought, oh, well, they've heard it on the radio, it's all kicking off, let's go and cut the ribbon and start the proceedings. Yeah. Anyway, there was a couple of the local lads closer, they grabbed him, and when they handed him over to the coppers, he wasn't hurt, but a pair of them. But that's just how the media stir it up and twist it.
Yeah. I mean, Kel, you must have been, you remember the riots that we had in this country, don't you, Kel? Because it went global. It was massive. You know, the whole, streets ablaze, people jumping out the windows. It was all over the papers, wasn't it, Frank? It was absolutely horrific. You must have been watching with horror what was going on before your eyes, Kel.
One thing I remember about that is when everything was catching fire and landmarks that were hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years old being burnt to the ground.
Yeah, there's that big... I know what you're talking about, Kel. There was two brothers owned it, didn't they, Frank? This was at Croydon. It's on the corner there. Been there, my goodness me. It must have been in the family over 100 years. What's that building called, Frank? You know it.
It was Reese's Corner. It started off... I mean, I remember it as a kid. It started off... It was always a really nice-looking building. It started off as a little... well, it was a few shops, and one of them, Rees, was a furniture shop, and there was a motorcycle shop as well on that. But they've slowly expanded, and they took over the whole corner, and it got called Rees's Corner, and that's just been burnt. Like the things out of business now.
Yeah, it was a lovely store, wasn't it, Frank, as well? So, you know, people saying that's how nice it was as well.
What did they gain? I mean, what were those, when they got the looters, it was just some sort of bloody hysteria. When they got the looters, what would they get? A bag of rice, a pair of bloody trainers. I mean, all that damage.
I know, it was absolutely, it was horrific. And you never thought where. We see riots going back years ago at Brixton, didn't we, Frank? But we didn't see anything a lot on that scale, which was just, it was going here, there and everywhere. It was up and down the country, wasn't it, different parts of the country. It was just like, you know, like a fire getting out of control, wasn't it? It was just like that. It was just went crazy.
And
of course, David Cameron, but what got me, Kel, this is another thing that got me. What was David Cameron doing all the time? The UK was under attack. What was he doing?
What I recall is that when the riots broke out, he and other members of Parliament, I believe that it was Parliament was in recess, and so they were on vacation, and David Cameron was actually in Italy, but he did return immediately to address the issues of the riots. But
We spent another day. He spent another day in the bloody sun, so he'd come back for the cameras, wasn't
he? Oh, well.
That's the only
thing. Oh, well. But just getting back to what Frank was saying about Croydon, the Croydon residents, and the buildings that were burning down, and the images of people literally jumping from balconies to escape the flames. This was unbelievable. This was unprecedented. I've not seen anything like this in the West. I can't remember when. Well, after what happened in the UK, of course, we go to Sweden, and they had their riots there as well, where the Muslims were burning things down.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, that went on for quite a while as well, didn't it, Frank?
Yeah, that went on for weeks.
Well, Paris.
Didn't the Swedish residents in the end say, you know, to the police, you're not doing your job. They went out and they started to put a bit of law and order back on the streets, wasn't it? I think it was the residents that in the end said, we've had enough of this, this is wrong, you're not doing your job, you're just getting to do it, and we will. And they've had enough, haven't they, Frank?
Yeah, but I put it a lot better to than I did tonight, but that was what I was getting at. They came out with all the swords and all this luck, waving their swords about, and he was praising them.
Yeah.
We came on the street in compliance with the law, unarmed, and we're the bloody vigilantes, and we're the scum. How do you
draw that? Yeah, that's what they called us, vigilantes. I mean, just goes to show you, this is why it makes me so annoyed with what we've got before us, Frank. Ladies and gentlemen, if you listen to the show, this is why I say we need a total shake-up of what we've got before us, because this is so wrong. I mean, people protecting people's homes, businesses, and that class as vigilantes. Good people. Just people like me and people like Frank, looking after people, looking after neighbours, looking after family businesses. That's all they're doing. Unarmed. They didn't have no baseball bats or anything like that. These people, unarmed, and, you know, they could have come under all sorts of attacks with these other lot that was on rioting, who was all tooled up. I mean, these lads were now, and lasses, there were some really good people who was trying to clean the place up and to make sure that it didn't happen there, and they get classed as vigilantes.
Oh, I know, and not only did they create mayhem and leave a mess behind, but they destroyed lives, they destroyed businesses, and once again, Frank was alluding to the Rees Furniture Store, and that building that had been standing there for nearly 150 years, it was rather prolific, and the brothers, Trevor and Graham Rees, they said that their lives were absolutely destroyed because their family business, it was just gone. Pharmacist shops smashed up. Other businesses smashed up. The pilfering that went on, everything, like so many businesses and livelihoods were destroyed, people's homes were destroyed. This is just unacceptable behavior. But this is, I remember this, and Jeff and Frank, this is years before I even knew what the EDL was. This is from, well, it was from 2011, and I was just, you know, I was reading about this because it was on the evening news here in North America, and I'm reading it, and I'm kind of, I'm still trying to figure out what the hell is going on over there.
Well, we all did. I mean, it really, it all stemmed from that. It was this guy, a colored guy, had been shot by the police, and it just all flared up from there, Kel. It was just unbelievable the way that it happened. But the thing that got me is the way the police stood back while Tottenham burned, wasn't it? That's what I couldn't get my head around that, Frank. It was just unbelievable what I saw.
What happened was a gangster got karma caught up with him, and all these people, all those grievance mongers again, wanted to use it for an excuse, and yet and they went on the rampage and give all the others, all the Muslims, a chance to come out with their swords. Waving sabers.
And they don't take responsibility for those in their own communities, because the person who was shot, he was a 29-year-old Tottenham resident by the name of, what was his name, Mark Dugan.
Sorry, Dugan, wasn't it? Dugan,
And he was under investigation by what was referred to then was by Operation Trident, and that's a subdivision of the Metropolitan Police. Now, he took possession of a BBM Bruni Model 92 handgun, and he was messing around with that. He was creating all sorts of problems, and that he was under investigation, and he was evading the police. And he turned, apparently, if I'm reading this properly, and any corrections are more than welcome, people. And if you're listening in archive and I'm wrong, please call the show on Thursday and correct me. But what I understand is that he had this replicated handgun, and he was pointing it at the police, in which the police had no choice but to defend themselves. So that's what I understand, if I remember correctly. And the only reason why I have his name on hand is because I did a Google search for the rioting, and his name popped up. But I do remember the circumstances of the story, and I do understand that he was being rather confrontational with the police and his own community. Instead of taking responsibility for one of their own, they decided to turn it on the indigenous people, that being the English people. Isn't that bloody lovely?
That's the way it is, Kel. But I thought it was only right that we actually talked about that tonight, because
those people were praised for coming out with their swords, and yet when we just had a walk down to the pub to where and to see where Lee Rigby died, we would stir trouble.
Yeah.
We would stir us. We were overreacting. Yeah. And we went down there, and they turned that was just a peaceful get together, and the media and the coppers between them stirred that into
Let's not forget what happened there when Tommy and a lot of the lads turned up for that. But what could be heard from all the Muslims at the back there behind the police? Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar.
Yeah,
that's
it.
A day after Lee Rigby's dead, or that night of the day, that was Allahu Akbar. That's all you could hear from these little scumbags. So that's the respect that they got for a fallen soldier.
All it boils down to really is Cameron and that lot are not stupid. They're not thick. This is deliberate. They are a snidey shower of buggers, and they're up to something that they don't want to admit to. They're on a backhander, or they're being blackmailed.
Well, I will always say, like we've said for a long time, it's all about the petrol dollar. It's all about the greed, the corruptness, and they're all corrupt.
in power. We all know that. That goes without saying. I think most people are not silly and knows that that is the case. They do these dodgy deals, turn a back on certain things, put pressure on other people like ourselves who stand up and speak out against the injustices, and that's it. So what do we expect? All the time we've got people like them, we can always have problems, don't we, Frank? Let's be honest. Thank you. Well, we always had these problems. But, we sort out the best way we can. And the great thing about it is what we're doing right now. I mean, it gives people something to talk about. It makes them, as I say, these are facts. These happen. It's not that, this is true facts. And, I mean, people see it around the world, what's going on. And I know everybody was absolutely horrified. Some people who live in America, I was told, was really quite upset with crying about it. They just couldn't believe what's happened to this country. They couldn't believe it. It was so upset. And I don't blame them, Mark, because it was pretty intense. Would you say, Frank, is that just about the right word, intense, what was going on? It was pretty... you just think people are going to die. People are going to get burnt alive in buildings and things like that. And it's pretty scary stuff, wasn't it? Let's be honest. But thank goodness there are some really good, the British bulldog spirit come out. It's just a shame that David Cameron, the jellyfish of politics, has to come up, has to make a statement like that.
Can I propose a way out for them if they want to take it? I mean, those Mozzies are good at grooming. They give you a gift, you will get the invoice later, and it's an open, they'll just claim whatever they claim. You accept the gift.
What my right hand possessed with the Islamic ideology, Frank, what my right hand possessed.
Absolutely, Frank. I've just been reading further into this. I've just been reading further into this person and Mark Dugan, and boy, he was quite the character. He, his uncle was some sort of mob boss. He was a baby daddy because at the time of his death, Dugan and his fiancée had 3 children, and he had a 4th child with another woman. He fathered 6 children in total, the youngest of whom was born after he died. So he was obviously a deadbeat and a baby daddy and a gangsta wannabe. And this guy is just a piece of work. Too bad we didn't get him when... It's too bad Dexter didn't get his hands on him when he was a little younger, because now we have all these welfare mamas carrying on the legacy of Mark Dugan. Lucky us. Lucky you.
Well,
in the UK.
I tell you what, Kel, as a as a prologue to what you're saying there, I wouldn't be surprised in a little while they'll be talking about putting up a little plaque on his behalf his community or some of the people around there. Because that's
one.
The sort of thing. There is one. There you go, Kel. There is one.
Sorry, no, I was getting mixed up with Stephen Lawrence. There's another one.
And I mean, the same thing will happen to him probably down the lines, won't there? There'll be a plaque in his name and his honour. A gangster with a plaque. And the thing is, I'm still pushing it. For some sort of monument on behalf of Lee Rigby, a little plaque, whatever it might be. They've already said no to it. That council said no, but I propose that that's something that we should push for and keep putting the pressure on.
Even if it's something like a paving stone engraved, just something simple like that, lest we forget.
We will never forget it, and that's what I'm saying. We still need to get rid of these councils, put people in charge of the boroughs and that, who does listen to what people got to say. This is what the people want. They want to see, a little thing for Lee, a little monument, a little plaque on his behalf and his name, especially for his son and that. You know, I think that's the way, and that's something I think we should all push for. I spoke to Glenn about
this. How about this for the wording? Just on Earth paving stone, like I say, this is the spot where Stephen Lawrence was murdered. If you don't know who Stephen Lawrence is, if time's passed and you don't know who Stephen Lawrence is, please ask. Never forget.
Right on, Frank.
Mm. Yeah, yeah. But anyway, oh my goodness, you know what, Kel? We do get, when we go into our archives, it's amazing where we take ourselves. And we've got a bit of engaged in talking about the Tottenham riots and the thing that sparked it off this evening. But as I say, it's always interesting to look back and, you know, to sort of digest exactly of what was going on at that time. You know, when you a little bit further down the line, you can look back and reflect a little bit more. You've got more of a clearer mind. Because when it's happening at the time, everything's happening quick. You remember all the reports that's coming on the telly, the looters are out tonight, they're doing this, they're doing that, they're on the way so-and-so, and he kept getting reports. So you do, your mind gets fogged with so much information was coming in. And now you've got time to reflect on that time, what was happening. And, at that time it was pretty scary, wasn't it, Frank? It really was. It was sad. It was sad because, as you said, Frank, there was that was a listed building, by the way, that what Kel was talking about. That was a listed building as well. So that's how important it was, you know, when listed buildings get raised to the ground, that's pretty sad, you know, and
it's worth noting, though, but the way our conversation's gone, it's not really gone off the track. It's all the same route. It all comes back to the same route. This is just, all we're doing is just looking back, joining the dots, and if you continue the line on from there, from where it is to where we are now, we continue in a straight line like that. It's going to be bloody even worse. It's going to be even more.
Yeah, it certainly... It certainly is. I mean, we talk about it on the shows, and, you know, like Tim and myself and you, Frank, and Kel, and it can be worrying if we... I think, thank goodness that we're here. We're here now, and we are trying to do something and trying to make the changes. We are a pressure group, and with the pressure of what we can make the changes, whether politicians like it or not. But that will happen. It will happen. It will come to pass. So it might take a little time. We don't, I think it was you said, Frank or Kel, Rome wasn't built in a day. And the same thing applies to what we've got before us now. It's going to take time, you know. But anyway, I was going to say, guys, we were coming up to the top of the hour, and I'll tell you what, I haven't even had a cup of tea for a couple of hours. I'm a bit dry, and I'm... Don't want to start coughing and spluttering because it sounds so rude.
Don't get
a chance to mute yourself, do you? That's the problem. But Frank, it's been great. You took part in the archives this evening. It's been absolutely been enthralling the conversation. The topic that we've been discussing, Kel. Thank you. My own special Google Queen. She's my assistant, my wingman. Fantastic job, young lady. As usual. Brilliant. Great slides tonight, as usual, Kel. You know, Frank, she's a great producer. She is such a... I said that earlier on tonight, but she's like a dynamo, you know. She's fantastic. I'm sure she works on Duracell batteries. Them Duracell batteries, Kel, I'm amazed. They're working so well.
I try my best.
But as I say, once again, I've got to thank you and Frank to everybody for tonight, because it's just been an amazing night again, you know. So thank you so much, Kel and Frank. Kel, have we got a tune that we could play out for our exit theme for this evening?
Yeah, I do. I have a really good one because we were touching on a few issues tonight, and we were talking about how we don't care, and so I found a song I think would be appropriate to play out with there, Jeffy.
Just one quick thing, mate. Do you know on a Friday when the Comedy Central we have, would it be okay to play the Monty Python Galaxy song at the end of that? Because I think that will finish it off beautifully.
Oh, okay.
Monty Python Galaxy.
Oh, it's brilliant. It really is brilliant. Puts everything into proportion. It's wonderful.
What do you, Frank, I was going to say, do you like our Comedy Central night on a Friday then?
Oh, brilliant. I mean, I don't even have to try and be serious, do I? this is all therapeutic. No need to thank me. This is brilliant. I've got to thank you.
It's our pleasure. I mean, and people like Mr. Wahibi moving forward.
Wahibi.
Can I have a chance to doing one? Would you be all right if I did, Jeff?
What? Yeah.
Mr. Wahibi, would you mind if I interviewed him one day? He's a fascinating fellow. I'd love to interview him for a couple of minutes. Would that
you
be all right?
Well, I should think. He pulls me up. He says, I don't speak good English. My English is bad, Frank. You know what I mean?
Well,
that's okay. Our English sucks too. So hey, I'm kidding, gentlemen. I'm kidding.
It's all good fun.
He'll have his fun.
Well,
with me,
you know what, Frank? I'm sure that Wahibi will take it. And what I'd do is that we could always bring Frank in, couldn't we? So, Mr. Wahibi, we got Frank here, and he's been absolutely fascinated by you, and he wants to do a little interview, if that's okay. Maybe we can... Mr. Wahibi... Wahibi? Wahibi?
Wahibi!
Him as well? He might be up for that, so...
If you keep calling him Wahibi, you're going to give him the heebie-jeebies.
Yeah.
And what's that? He said Johnny Walker. What did he say, Kel? Johnny Walking Liquor.
Yeah.
So funny, isn't it? Oh, it's amazing. That's why we love doing the Friday. We had to call it something like Comedy Central because we always have so much fun on the Friday evening, don't we, before the weekend. And then sometimes we're gearing up for a demonstration the following day. So it's always a little, hijinks on a Friday night. And I'm glad everybody's enjoying it, I think.
Here's a bit of feedback. There's a mate of mine, my downstairs neighbour, he came up this afternoon to listen with me to Friday's catch-up, yeah? He thought it was great.
Yeah. Oh, brilliant.
So he thought it was great.
And that's all great. We say is... It's good to know that you've got friends and your neighbours that like the show, and just tell them, just listen on the Friday or catch up on the archives. Because sometimes they've got a busy lifestyle and they can't always be there, but it's always nice to know that people catching up on the catch-ups, our archives.
There's one more bloke spreading it around. So that's good, huh?
Yeah. That's a good point, Frank. Yeah. Anyway, Frank, once again, thank you so much for being a part of this panel this evening. God bless you, mate. Kel, once again, my super wingman? Yeah,
I'm your wingman.
You certainly are. Thank you, Kel.
I'm not a feminist. Wingman works for me, baby.
There you go, Kel. So... So anyway, Kel, I'm going to leave it in your fair hand tonight to play us out for this evening. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to we hate this bit because we got to say goodbye to you all. But do you know what? It's only 4 days and we'll have another show. And guess what? If you want a bit more of Blog Talk Radio, you've got Kel tomorrow night. You've got Kel on Tuesday night with Tim. Or Kel and Tim tomorrow. Kel and Tim Tuesday. And then, as I say, and then we'll be back Thursday, and
Then again, Kel's got another show as well. She's got
on
a
Friday. Oh, and I have a show on Wednesday with Mike Holt of Restore Australia. And,
yep,
and I'm back here Thursday, and then Friday I'm back here. And on Friday I fly solo on the Red Fox Blogger. And if you didn't have a chance yet, Frank was there. And Frank, I forgot to thank you so very much. Frank called into my show on Friday, not to speak with me, but just because he thought I was all alone. And so he was keeping me company in the studio. Jeff, later on, I talked to Frank about the show with me and Annie of Southern Sense. It was a total riot.
It was.
I called in. I called into the show, Kel.
Yeah,
you
were there.
Oh, God, that's right. You were.
Yeah. I called in about, about half hour ago. I thought I'll just say a quick hello, to you.
I should have said a collective you and not you in particular, Jeff. Yeah, because you called it at the end of the program. Oh, Frank,
yeah.
Are you sure you want to marry me? I'm such a ditz.
No, you're not. You're just a busy lady. Kel,
there you
Kel,
go.
You love it though, don't you? You love
it. I do.
Busy.
I really do.
There you
but
go.
But there are certainly days when I look around and I do say, "Mummy, what's my name? Where am I? What is this place? How did I get here?"
Frank, would you not agree? This is a rightful place. This is what your calling was all about, Kel. That you would be
Kel,
as you what you're doing now.
I can't marry you, sweetheart. I just couldn't keep up.
Well, there you go, Kel. You've had a rebuttal. I can't believe it.
There you go.
Can you believe it? You broke her heart now, Frank. You broke this young lady's heart.
Darling, it's not a refusal. It's a surrender.
Oh, no, he surrendered. Oh, there'd never be a surrender, Frank. My goodness.
I never would.
Oh, my God, I thought there'd never be a Frank surrendering. No. Do you believe
false
yourself?
Major. False major.
But no,
I'm loving
Frank,
it.
I know you are, Kel. I know you're light, and she's blushing as well. I know Kel so well. There you go. I know her so well, Frank. But bless you both. I mean, it's been, I've enjoyed this part of the show as well. It's been great. Thank you, guys. And everybody that's listening in, I hope you've enjoyed what we've been discussing tonight. And you guarantee, when we go back Thursday, we'll have a lot more to discuss as well.
Mm-hmm.
Talking about upcoming demonstrations. And now we're going to be pumping out the Peterborough one, which is coming up. Well, not too long, and we'll be talking about that more when we come back this Thursday. So from myself, from Frank, from Kel, from our panel, from everybody associated with the English Defence League radio show, we're going to sign off tonight, and I'm going to pass it over to my dear Kel, and she's going to play us out for this evening. So over to you, Kel. Good night.
You've got it, Jeff. And Jeff and Frank, have a wonderful evening, and I will see you all back here on Thursday. Ladies and gentlemen, no surrender ever. We love you all. Thanks for being here. Right, Jeff and Frank?
Yo, Spangles, Ellen. And I hope to see you before Thursday, young lady, because then we will Skype.
Will do. Okay.
Okay, then with that, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to pass it over to Kel, and this is our exit theme for this evening, but don't worry, we'll be back again this Thursday. So with that, over to you, Kel.
Try to make it through my life in my way. There's you. I try to make it through these lies, and that's all I do. Just don't deny it. Don't try to fight this and deal with it. And that's just part of it.
Wow. I just want to say, Kel, I love that tune. Wow. That blew me away. I was bobbing
there
up.
There you go.
Kel, okay, thank you so much. Have a great evening, and probably catch up with you tomorrow sometime. Okay, darling?
Absolutely. Can you be my alarm clock and get me out of bed at 11:30 in the morning?
I'll give you a bell.
Thanks, Jeff.
Take care. Have a lovely, lovely evening.
You too.
Kel.
Good night to you and good night to everybody.
Good night,
I'll talk to you on Thursday officially, but I'll talk to you tomorrow. Okay.
Okay, Kel. Good night, guys, and we'll be back this Thursday. This is the English Defence League Radio Show, signing off for tonight. Good night, guys.